You see, Wayne Simmons was doing that Q&A on Twitter earlier today, and he was. It's weird. Like it just. It's like that signing just came and went, and he's a Maple Leaf, and we don't know when he's actually going to play.
You know, that's the toughest part.
Figure that out when. Yeah, exactly. But I guess once they do, Wayne Simmons, we know he's going to be playing, right? There's some debate about where he might be playing, and a couple of guys on the fringe of the lineup. Who is this guy? What's he going to bring? Barabanov, Letnin, Bogosian. Wayne Simmons is here, and he's here to play. But it's kind of cool. A Toronto kid doing a Q&A representing the Leafs, and at some point we're going to get to see him play, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Maybe Pierre LeBrun can give us an answer on that. Here's our hockey insider. Is there still negotiations going on? Like, when can we expect to find out details on a schedule for next season in the NHL?
I don't know, man. I'm taking November off, so you let me know.
Okay. All right. Fine by me. If I know, I'll shoot you a text, but I'm probably not as connected as you are.
Yeah. I just opened a cold one, by the way. Just cracked
good.
One open. I said, you know, I'm going on overdrive. I'm going to see the boys. Time to open a cold one.
Sure. I like it. I like it.
Nice.
I haven't had a sip yet, though. I haven't had a sip yet, but I've opened.
We don't care if you do, buddy. Go ahead.
He's concerned about his Cowboys. You need to have a drink and relax.
Save him for Sunday.
Say,
they're going to get roasted in Philly. Just
you think so?
I hope so. I hope they do. I mean, that's now you're at the point where you're if you're a realistic fan, you don't want silly wins, right? Now you're going for the pick. No question about it.
But you're not going to get Lawrence. Right, like you're not catching the Jets.
And also you want Dak. Obviously, he's proven enough to be a top quarterback. But they need about 17 new players on defense.
Yeah, it's so true, Pierre. But the problem is if CD Lamb 2.0 is there again, that's who Jerry Jones will take. He'll take it because I remember your excitement level when they took Lamb. You were like, "Here we go!"
Every Cowboy fan,
but they didn't need him. They don't need CeeDee Lamb. That's the whole point. Like, he couldn't contain himself. He's sitting there on that dumb yacht, and he's like, I'm taking this guy. I can't believe he dropped me. And everyone's like, your defense sucks. Your offensive line is a joke. What are you doing here? But he needs the flashy toy, and that's the issue with Jerry Jones.
So you're saying it's like signing John Tavares when you're the Leafs.
I did not say that. That is not what I said, Pierre. That's a good little segue, though.
You said that, Pierre. You said that.
Yeah. But back to this season, when I checked in on it yesterday before Insider Trading, I put out that tweet about the return to play committee. They're going to have 13 players so far committed to being on that committee. Just to juxtapose that, there were 5 players on the spring committee that put in tireless hours to help form that 2014 tournament. This time, 13 players have signed up to be part of these sessions. And, you know, as one of the 5 players told me recently that was on the spring return to play committee, it's not like it's fun. I mean, you're kind of sticking your neck out for 700 players on some pretty important matters. And the fact that there are 13 players willing to do this tells me a couple of things, I think. Anyway, it tells me that, you know, there were some players that weren't happy with return to play, and this time they want to be part of it. You know, it's one thing to whine when everything is put on the table for you after you've done nothing. So I think some guys have said, I want to be part of this from the outset, which is good. That's what you should do. But I think it also tells you the level of anxiety and pressure that's involved in the situation. Like, there's a lot on the line here. There's livelihoods on the line. There's so many unknowns about the 2021 season, and I think that these players want to have a say in what's going to make sense to salvage it. So as of last night, the two sides were hoping to start meeting finally for the first time next week on return to play, but as of last night, it still wasn't cemented.
Pierre, you mentioned the number of players involved. They do want to make money. They do want to get back playing. But if I just kind of get the sense that these players, they don't really want to be discussing bubbles anymore, do they?
No, that's bang on, O'Dog. They want no part of a bubble again. And even, I mean, I was texting with one player who I think will end up being one of these 13 players on the committee. And he was saying, you know, I don't even know what the appetite is for these 4 hubs, which aren't bubbles. They're just It's just that the league is thinking of maybe, as you guys have heard, of having four regional centers to start, because the border is going to be an issue to start with. So you're going to have a Canadian hub, perhaps, and then the 24 U.S. teams split in three other hubs geographically to sort of mitigate the travel. But even that isn't too appealing to some guys. No, of course,
sounds brutal, although you got to do it.
But at some point, if the border doesn't loosen up, at some point you're going to be faced with, well, are we playing or not playing? Because here are your options at the start of the year. I mean, it is what it is. You can't force the Canadian government to relax the border. You have to go by the rules. And if the border doesn't relax, I don't know what you do. Now, one thing to keep in mind, and both the PA and the league have maintained this with me over the last month, whatever the season starts off as, they hope, certainly, does it end as, format-wise. That you know, you could start in four different places and end up in 31 rinks, hopefully. That's the hope.
Well, we talked about this earlier in the week where, you know, my fear for the NHL and the PA would be, from a PR standpoint, that they're going to fall into the trap that baseball fell into, where it's going to become a public battle over how many games and the money. And we're already starting to see it in the NBA. There was a report out of, I think, Mark Stein, ESPN, or used to be with ESPN. He's an NBA insider. He's reported today that basically the NBA has countered the threat from the NBA PA about them wanting to start in January, that if you start in January, you're getting a 50-game schedule, and you're going to lose even more money, and you're not going to have a choice. Right. And it's like, here we go. The ball is starting to roll just like baseball was. Now the players are going to come over the top and say, no, well, we're not doing it then. We just won't show up. And I'm just waiting for the NHL to get there, where there's going to be this battle where the PA is like, well, we're not doing this. And the owners are like, yeah, you are, because we need to do this. And then it's going to explode. And then, you know, in the end, both sides knew exactly where it's going. But you got to push back publicly to show that you're strong as a union and as an ownership group. You know, there's blood on both hands with scenes like this.
So there hasn't been any public posturing on this yet, but underneath the surface, there's no question that already I would tell you that people are reading a specific section of the MOU that was put out in June, attached to the new CBA, that can be read a couple of different ways. And I won't read it on air because it's a lot of legalese and it's too long to read, but I have it out in front of my screen here. And by the way, the MOU, if you have time this weekend, is a public document. You just go to the NHLPA website and click on it. It's actually worth revisiting because a lot of things are in there about the Olympics and other things that affect the next few years. But there's a lot of language about the transition seasons here, you know, especially 2021. And there's a section in there that one player agent tells me when he reads it with me, that he says basically his legal interpretation of that paragraph is that the players are entitled to their full salaries regardless of the number of games played in 2021.
Good luck.
But, this is where I'm getting
no
to.
Chance.
And the interpretation from, be careful here, interpretation I got, let's say, from someone on the other side is that wasn't their interpretation. So...
Right.
As someone put it very simply to me, you know, on the one hand, I definitely get the player's argument that when they negotiated the CBA extension, they negotiated 20% escrow and a 10% salary deferral for the 2021 season. That's 30% off your salary. They would not have negotiated that if they thought there was any chance that there was more than money coming off that. On the flip side, and again, I'm not taking sides here, on the other side of it, if you're an NHL owner, it's probably pretty simple if you're an NHL owner. If we're playing 48 games, you're getting paid for having played 48 games on 82. Otherwise, let's not have a season, is what an owner would say. No, I mean, they're going to say.
That's what's happened in these other sports. That's what happened in baseball. That's what, again, I think in basketball, and what has also happened here that they all should be coming together because they're all losing money, the owners and the players, and I think they all accept that, but they're trying to hold on to as much of their money as they possibly can. Again, I totally understand why you would do that, but they just went through a 3 or 4 month experience, and not just the NHL, the NBA, all these sports, where the ratings really were down. You know, they really got hit. And as a result, you know, what the Mark Stein report was in the NBA was that the NBA, in working with their partners, so ESPN, TNT, et cetera, they're not doing that again. Like, they want to be done by the Olympics. They want to be done by the end of July. So I would have to believe the NHL is going to follow suit. I can't imagine that their partners, especially NBC in the States, who own the rights to the Olympics, are going to say, yeah, play through August and September again. So it feels like there is a drop-dead date in terms of the end of this, and it's just a matter of when you get started to see how many games you could play and how much money you can salvage.
Totally. There's no question. And that'll be part of the conversation, to be honest, that I think this return to play committee will have. I don't know if they'll get into the nitty-gritty of salaries, because that's really more of a discussion to be had between Don Fehr and Gary Bettman, I think, than it is to be had between player and between, you know, 25 people on a call. But that certainly will be at the heart of the return to play again, is how all this plays out. Now, how would I put this? Like, Gary Bettman doesn't drop lines just for the sake of it. And at his State of the Union address before Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final in September, unsolicited, I may add, he dropped a line where he said, well, it probably wouldn't make sense for us to play summer hockey again. Like, no one had even asked him that. So I've covered the league and Gary Bettman for 25 years. Automatically, I'm like, okay, got to make note of that.
Right.
That was the first time that he had said publicly, or the league, that it probably doesn't make sense to play summer hockey again, i.e., they're not playing summer hockey again.
Exactly.
Okay? So the only way that there's summer hockey again is, if going back to the salary dispute, is if it becomes about having enough games to satisfy the salaries. But then you get into delaying 21-22, and it's interesting because just before I got on with you guys, I'm working on this story for the weekend for The Athletic. I interviewed Ron Francis today, Seattle Kraken GM. And it's unbelievable how many unknowns they're dealing with. Like, they don't know when the expansion draft's going to be. I mean, a year from now, in a normal world, they'd be entering the second month of their inaugural season. Now, who knows?
Right.
And so, you know, at some point, do you need to make sure that 2021, no matter what the financial implications are, ends by sometime in June, just so you can get back on a normal cycle again? I think that's important.
Well, I would suspect that it has to be a priority, and I totally agree, just based on what we're going through right now, the fact that we should be playing hockey, and we're not. We understand why. I mean, COVID crept up on everyone, and it's a pandemic, and it's made us all adjust, but hopefully it's only an adjustment for a year and a half, as opposed to leaking into 2 or 3 years down the road. We'll see. And there's still free agents out there, right? Like, we bring this up about once a week. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike Hoffman's still out there. And
yeah.
A couple of other big names, and they're going to get signed, I would assume, at some point. But
they're getting signed, and I think the agents are being smart. I updated the Mike Hoffman situation on Insider Trading last night, and, you know, they know what's on the table. They've got offers. I think they've got some 1-year offers for between $3.5 to $4.5 million, which they believe is under market value for him. And so I think the determination they've made, and I think they're right, his agents I'm talking about, is that those offers will still be there in 2 months. So why not wait this out, see if teams suddenly can move money and circle back and make better offers. There might be teams with LTIR situations, you know, Boston with Pastrnak, St. Louis with Tarasenko, Edmonton with Klefbom, that might suddenly become a spot for Mike Hoffman if suddenly there's money created by LTIR. So I think they've decided to be patient. I know Eric Halla's agent, I spoke to him a week ago, that they're going to be patient. They're waiting on teams to move money. Same thing for Michael Granlund's camp. You might as well now, in for penny, in for pound. I mean, you missed the first wave.
Yep.
What's the point of signing now when all the offers in front of you are bargain city? You might as well wait. The puck's not dropping anytime soon. As long as your client can live with that, that's probably the best play.
Well, enjoy the month off, buddy, and hopefully by December when we get you back on here, we'll have some sort of clarity on when they're going to play again and timelines and all that. But who knows? This point and at this rate, I guess you shouldn't hold your breath. We'll find out when we find out.
Right on, right on, boys. Right on. Have a great weekend, and I'll still enjoy the football on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I just cheer for my fantasy team now. So that's what I
that's,
got left.
That's the commitment we're looking for right there. Throw the Cowboys overboard. It's fantasy time. I like it. I like that lifestyle choice. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.
R.I.P. to that beer he has in his hands.
Yeah, that thing is going to be disappearing in 3, 2, 1. Bye-bye.
That's a chug. Yes. The minute he hangs up.
That's
called
go time.